This podcast is brought to you by Aspire Planning Group, insurance creating a better future for you and your family. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
We're absolutely delighted to be joined by a Preston club legend, Coach Bill Murray. Welcome to the Lions Den.
Thank you, Josh. It's a real pleasure to be here.
Take us back to 1985 when you first got the role with the club. How did it arise?
I was at training one night and we'd noticed two gentlemen at the side that we didn't know, and the pitch was buzzing. This was at Box Hill. And we just talked about it a bit afterwards. I said, it's a bit strange. And within a few weeks as the season ended, I received a phone call from John Branagh asking me to go for an interview with him to be coach of Preston. And when I went to the interview, I found out that Peter Mukas had been at the ground sizing me up as coach. And after the discussions with John and Peter, I accepted the position as coach of Preston, and I was very, very proud to do that. It was a goal that I'd always wanted to achieve, and to be with such a powerhouse team was an honour.
So you were headhunted by the club hierarchy then?
Yes, and I had no idea.
Fantastic. And you inherited quite a strong squad when you got there, but how did the players take to you initially?
The first thing that happened was I was asked to coach the Scottish team in the end-of-season World Cup, and we played England, and many of the Preston players were with England. Ian Dobson was there, Robbie Dunn, Graham Hayes, and Steve Smith, who was with Box Hill, but he came there. And after the game, they beat us. I went in and asked to talk to the four of them, and I said, look, I don't know if you know it yet, but I'm going to be your new coach. They said, oh, we had an idea. And so that went along well. And at the training, I can honestly say everything went really well. Zarko Ajakov was still with the club, and Zarko was a fabulous person to talk to, and he was great at training. And obviously, he and the club were parting ways. There was an irretrievable situation there where they just wanted to be away from each other. But all the other players accepted me. I did have a difficult situation with the New Zealand goalkeeper, Richard Wilson, but we resolved that towards the end of that first season.
Do you want to go into any details on Wilson?
It's just one of those things that happened. Richard was a great goalkeeper for New Zealand, very intense person, and he played in the first games we played, and he asked me if he could go over to New Zealand to visit his mother, who was sick, I think it was. And I let him go, and Philip came into the team and played really well. And when Richard came back, I gave him his position back, but he had a bit of a snap at me, and I had a chat with him and said, look, if you got something to say, say it to me. Don't say it in public. And in the first game, we had a goal against us that I had a word at half time, and he just exploded. And from that moment, Phil was in the team.
Yeah. And you also brought some of your own players into the setup, including Steve Smith, back from your old team at Box Hill, who went on to be very successful.
Steve was a great striker and a great goal scorer. I mean, and in the air, he was absolutely magnificent. He'd done a great job for us at Box Hill and scored 23 goals in the league season, and we did very, very well. And when I asked Preston about bringing him in, they said, yes, we'll do it. And they did. They paid a very good fee to Box Hill to bring Steve. But my belief in him as a player was immense. And to partner him with Gary Cole and to have two other strike partners, because we signed Warren Spink as well, who's a great player, but very young, and Sean Lane, we just had a great strike force. They were wonderful.
And just reading these lists of names, Bill, I'm looking at this. I'm looking at Hayes, Dobson, Dunn. These players are legends. McMillan, Petrovsky, Ilioski, Opasinas.
Yeah.
Good old Opa.
They were. I mean, if you go through it, I mean, Richard was a great goalkeeper, and so was Philip. George McMillan was a fantastic fullback, one of the hardest players you'll ever meet. Ian Dobson and Robbie Dunn together were magnificent. Ian was a great leader, a really great player, and a very forthright man, I can tell you. He didn't pull punches, and he expected the same back. Robbie was much younger in his attitude, but he was a fantastic player. And Con Opasinas was a great fullback who could eventually play forward. Now, Zoran Ilioski was a great midfielder who could play anywhere for you. And then you had Gordon Flavelle, who is one of the hardest players you'll ever meet in the midfield. And we had Graham Hayes was one of the best utility players and a goal scorer at the same time. And of course, then you had that forward line. So it was managing that was difficult. And oddly enough, in the early stages, often it came down to Graham or Zoran Ilioski. And I used to have sleepless nights over this, of how to pick that team. But I had to follow my instincts, and I generally got it right, I think.
How did you manage the egos involved and so forth with so many talents in that team?
I think the number one is you can't be the leader on the park, and you need, as a coach, you need to have a leader on the park. I was very fortunate to have Ian Dobson. Ian Dobson was one of the strongest leaders you'll ever meet. Also very forthright, and he could say his piece, and he had to take it back a bit. But Ian led the team well, and the people like Gary Cole and Robbie Dunn and Graham Hayes and Sean Lane and Zoran, they all looked up to him. So Ian and I established a good working relationship at that time. As I said, he was also forthright, and I mean, there was a night he came up to me and he said, "We're not training hard enough in this session." I said, "Look, Ian, I'm doing this way for a reason, but I'll see you at the end of the game, at the end of the session." So we got on with the training, and we did a bit. I did it a bit harder than I thought because he'd asked. And at the end, I said, "Look, I've got this little routine set up for you just to make sure you do enough." And I set some doggies up. And I made him do the doggies, and he did them until he was crawling along the ground. And he wouldn't give up. I said, "Another set," and another set. And honestly, he was crawling along the ground. But his determination and the heart that the man had, he just crawled. And I just had to say, "Stop, that's it, go in." And it was that sort of, that steel in him that made him the player that he was.
Sounds like almost a Roy Keane or a Patrick Vieira type.
Oh, yes, he was. And he didn't pull any punches either. He was a great leader, and he was the leader of that team, in essence.
Can you take us into the dressing room in that period of time? What were some of the memories that you have of that season?
Oh, I mean, Sean Lane bashing the ball against the wall until it almost burst. I mean, he really did. Sean would just go berserk and just kick the ball against the wall about 50 times. I used to worry about his leg, that he'd be able to go in the park and play. And then you'd get the jokes coming from people like George McMillan. George was a funny man. He really was. He could just come away with stuff. And Hazy with his bristling moustache. Gary was that cool. He was the cool daddy of the lot. And we just had a nice dressing room, except when someone got left on the bench and didn't. You could cut it with the atmosphere with a knife when they were just waiting for that. They all sort of had an idea where the actual challenge would be. And when the team went down, they sometimes found it hard, but they were good.
Looking back now, Bill, what does Preston mean to you?
Preston, it meant the pinnacle of my life. I had a great career at Frankston, where I coached an English and Scottish international and a World Cup winner. I coached 5 years at Box Hill and achieved a great success with a great young team, again with strong leaders like Billy Ray and Davy Brooks and Donny Brownlee, great players. But Preston was at a different level. They were a great team, as were many of those teams in the National League at that time. And to coach that football at that level, and when we had the good results, some of them were just outstanding. Some of the games were outstanding. And it was just such a wonderful thing to see when they were in full flight, because they were almost unstoppable when it all clicked and they went through, and the fans loved it.
As a young 12-year-old, I don't think I missed a game that season, and it's still as clear as day to me. We're talking about the Southern Division Grand Final.
Oh, well,
take us through this and be honest.
Yes, I will.
Turbos has gone to me, "Hey, Dave."
Yeah.
Talk us through it.
We played Juventus off the park that day, and we scored a great goal early on, and Steve Smith had a header cleared off the line by Michael Peterson, who actually was running back into the goal and somehow got the back of his head to the ball on the line to keep it out. And then he saved another one on the line. And we had the game won. And really, early in the second half, we should have finished it, because they brought on John, the coach of Juventus.
Margaritis.
John Margaritis pulled a change, and he pulled on Paul Drinoski. To allow Michael Peterson to go forward, and we should have taken advantage of that, because Paul wouldn't have lasted if we'd got a break on him in that in the half pitch we had, he was never going to stop them. But somehow they held on. And with 2 minutes to go, they took an attack down the right, and Graham Hayes made a great slide tackle. The referee, Donny Campbell of Adelaide, gave a free kick. Now, we had the free kick covered, but somehow it got through the wall, and it was quite incredible. It bounced up and it hit Mike Peterson in the arm. I mean, he brought it down with his arm. The referee was 10 metres away and didn't pull up. It was an absolute stonewall, a free kick for us.
We were robbed.
We were robbed. And I don't want to take it any further, but we were robbed. The second goal was just a clearance was deflected. And again, Robbie Cullen handballed. And he just told me the other week at Preston when we were up at the end of last season, he said, I did handball it, but no one saw it. And that was another free kick we should have got. But he did a great job in scoring that goal to make it 2-1. But we should never have lost the game. It was ours to lose. And we just held on till those last 2 minutes. And that was it. What a soul search. I mean, I still feel it today, as many of the players do. And in the National Cup final against Olympic, the same thing happened. We'd had two players, Steve Smith and Ian Dobson, who had injuries. And in the last 10 minutes, they took cramp. Now, I had young Billy Pikulovsky on the line, and I had a couple of players who'd been out. And the pressure was so high, and we had played so well. I thought we could get through it, and unfortunately, we had an unfortunate incident where, again, a ricochet landed at a player's foot, and it was in the net, and we lost that 2-1 as well. And we were the best team in both games.
Stop, reflect. It's game day. You're down on the bench. If I can remember, there was a running track around the old Olympic Park.
Yes.
Did you ever stop and look behind you?
Oh, yes. I mean,
what was that like, looking behind you?
I'll say it a little bit different.
Full ground.
I'll say it a little bit differently, David. On my first game at Olympic Park, when I came out, I think it was against Heidelberg or maybe Box Hill. It was when it was a crowd there.
Yep.
And I walked out, and all the fans, I think they knew that I was the rookie coach, and they were being questioned about bringing me in. And they all started chanting my name, and I looked around and saw it, and I felt the chills go right up the back of my neck.
Keep going, keep talking.
And it was such a thrill. To be part of that I will never forget it.
I found something here, and I want you to talk with us through this, because I remember the chants of the crowd, and I'll show you a little picture of here. I don't know if our online viewers can see it, but this is an amazing picture. It's a little gift from us.
Oh, yes.
Talk
it's
us
a beauty.
Through this picture, and now, it's a picture of five of you.
Obviously, it's John and Julie and Dr. Tom, and I'm sorry, I've just...
He's the surgeon, kid. He was the surgeon, specialises in plastic surgery.
Kitty. I knew it was Kitty. I just couldn't remember. Yeah, they were a great team. They were a wonder... Julie was wonderful. He took all the pressure off me as much as he could, and we put up rules.
Doesn't miss training. He's still there every night. And
he was great with me. And I'll tell you a couple of stories about him. But there was once we were in that first season, we had a bit of a dip, and we played South Melbourne at Olympic Park at South Melbourne's ground. And I said,
Middle Park.
I said, Nick, go and ask Sean to come off. And the back chat that goes on around the dugout, and he says, Bill, can you do it? He says, they're threatening to kill me. So I laughed and went out and asked Sean to come off, and he didn't want to come off either. So it was funny, though. Nick, he just didn't want to get out of the dugout because the fans were having a real go at him. But if we didn't beat Preston or Footscray, JUST or Croatia, the fans said to me, you must win today or else. Against those three teams in South Melbourne, we had to win. It was just the way they were. They were very passionate.
That was rivalry. That was the rivalry.
I'd like to tell you a story, and Julie won't appreciate this, but we were playing up at Brisbane one weekend, and we went up on the Saturday to give ourselves a night. And the boys were all right. They were one or two of them had a beer, but not many. And we didn't allow them to do that. But I know that George McMillan would sneak
Georgie
it in.
Georgie did sneak it in.
But Nick says, I'm going round to check the rooms. I said, well, I'll come with you. So we went up to the rooms, and some of them were on the top floor, and the door was open, and they were obviously playing cards. They were just playing cards. It was about 9 o'clock at night. And Nick's pushed the door open and this bucket of water has fallen onto his head. And he said, "That's it. I'm finished with this. They're all getting fined." I was trying not to laugh, I tell you. I didn't know what to do. I got him out of there and got him downstairs, and he was really upset. So, Julie, I apologise for bringing it up, but it was a priceless moment in the game. And that happened, and we had these funny moments when things like that happened.
That does take pride of place on our ground. You've seen it at our ground, but I thought I'd make you a copy. Because
I'll get that framed.
It's a beautiful, beautiful photo.
Yeah, I will have that photograph framed. I certainly will. They were unforgettable moments. And I'm very, very grateful that I got the chance to coach there. And for all that the fans at the end got after me, as they deserved to, I'm grateful I had them as fans cheering me on in my time. And I'm grateful that we were able to put a team on that park that did the passion that Preston have. It did it proud. And that all these players would say the same thing. Every single one of them would say the same thing. They loved it.
Well, we really want to thank you for taking the time out. I think we're going to have to get you on more and more because these stories are fantastic. And,
well, there's
and
a few of them around, I can tell
you. On behalf of the club, we know every time we ask Bill to come down, he's there, and his insights are still amazing. I love catching up, having a coffee.
It is always a pleasure to be there, and there are many, many stories, but that might be for another time.
We need a whole series with you.
Thanks, David.
I
appreciate
it. Definitely going to have to revisit this one. Bill, thank you so much for coming on the Lions Den, and we look forward to speaking to you again, I think sooner rather than later.
Thank you, Josh. Appreciate it.